This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 15, where we're going to discuss OneDrive, cloud news, and the cloud storage wars. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. All right. Welcome to episode 15. How you been, AC?
Man, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Lots of topics to get through today. News, information. It's going to be good.
It's been a busy few weeks. It's been a busy week since we last recorded.
Yeah, I know. So much is going on. You know, it's for those who are listening, you know, we typically record this on a Wednesday morning, the week, well, we have a couple in the can, right? So we're, this one will be coming out about...
Not in the can. That's the English term. That sounds like recorded a few and just tossed them away.
Sorry, we have a couple already baked. I don't know what
we got them in the hopper.
We got them in the hopper. Yeah. So we record on a Wednesday and then we pop them in the can and then they come out on a Monday, but usually about a week out from when we record them. And we're actually considering moving our release to Tuesday mornings, right?
Yep.
So heads up to those who are listening, you might find that we shift to that in the next week or two. But anyway, what have you been up to?
It's been really busy. I guess just one update is I know people have been asking about my Pluralsight Web Services course, and I know by the time this comes out, it will be live, or I expect it to be live. I have one little thing that they wanted me to fix, so I fixed that this morning, so it should be getting in their hopper and start coming out soon. And then the other bit is I've been spending a lot of time on a new Pluralsight course, which also dovetails into our little software as a service startup, Curb. So I've been just wrapping my brain around a lot of stuff. Both of them have one central common denominator, and I've been just heads down geeking out a ton on that.
Nice.
So how about yourself?
Well, I'm heading to New Zealand on Monday. So I'm in a mad scramble to get everything sorted before I head off. I'm out of the States pretty much most of February. I'm heading down there to do some work and then a little bit of vacation as well. So you know what it's like before you head away on holiday. It's like you can never get everything done and your list only seems to be getting longer. So I'm sort of staring down the barrel of a pretty average next few days as I try to get everything wrapped up. But yeah, it's gonna be nice to head home, so to speak. I don't consider New Zealand, well, it depends what you call home. I definitely do call it home, but it's not where I live anymore, obviously. So yeah. It's always fun to go back. And I've been laughing that I'm gonna have a hard time understanding people. like people have a hard time understanding me here. For the first couple of days when I go back, it's always a little tricky to get used to all the colloquialisms and slang again and stuff like that. So it's kind of like I'm in my own country, but I don't really understand anybody for the first 24 hours. Surprising. It's kind of surprising how quickly that happens.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have some interesting stuff to get through today. We're going to talk about OneDrive, which is the new SkyDrive. We're going to talk about some cloud news and about the cloud storage wars. But first, I thought we've got some great news. We've got some 5-star reviews in iTunes. And so I thought we could just quickly go through those and read them out real quick and say big thanks to everybody that's submitted a review. And why don't you kick things off?
Absolutely. So first, everybody that submitted a review on iTunes, really, really appreciate it. We got 5 5-star reviews and 1 4-star review, 6 ratings, but 3 people left reviews, which are really appreciated. So the first one is by David Roden. He says, one of my top 5. He said, this podcast is one of those right place, right time finds. If you are like me, are heavily invested in Microsoft technology, and you realize the growing importance of the cloud, this show will help you answer many of the questions you face when considering Microsoft's many cloud offerings. The info on Office 365 and Azure is helpful, not just for insight into those products, but to better understand the marketplace as a whole. Good job, guys. So thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you very much, David. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
So the next one we've got is, I think I'm pronouncing this right, Biosel. Maybe Biosel says, great podcast. One of the best podcasts on info about Azure, SharePoint, 365, etc. Andrew is one of the smartest SharePoint devs out there. Very nice. His videos on Pluralsight are great. And Chris does awesome work when he's on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. If you only have time for one... if you only have time in the week for a couple MS podcast, I think maybe he meant a couple of MS podcasts... this is one of the better ones to put on your list. So thank you very much to Biosol, 5 stars. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Now, the last one we have is, I believe this is from a friend of mine, so I'm going to give you a little disclaimer on that. But it says, a great podcast on everything in the cloud by Benny H. So my good friend Benny Hill over in the UK.
Yeah, nice.
I'm kidding. So it's by my friend Benny Hsu. He says, great podcast of two guys who know their stuff when it comes to cloud services offered by Microsoft. It's like sitting down with a couple of your buddies and having a beer with them, except that you're talking about marketing of the cloud services. So Benny actually is a good friend of mine. He kind of did a life transformation thing over the last few years. And he's not a developer by trade, but he has gotten into iOS app development and marketplace. He released an app that was wildly successful in the first month. It generated something like $30,000 in revenue. The app is Photo 365, and he's got a couple other apps like Gratitude 365. But one of the things that's really interesting is he was recently on national TV on Fox Business because he released a new app that has the word candy in the name. It's like, it's all about slots.
Yeah.
And he rebranded the branded a slot game with using candy, like chocolate and candy canes or whatever. And the company that's behind Candy Crush Saga, they actually have a trademark on the word candy, and they filed a complaint with him again with Apple, to where he had to go through and take the name Candy out because they said that the apps looked the same. They said the apps looked the same, and there was a little bit of a dust up over it. So it was cool seeing him on TV. It's an absolutely ridiculous story that he's having to go through. It made like the front page of Dig one day last week. So absolutely nuts. But so anyway, thank you very much for all three of you guys that left the reviews. It's really cool to get reviews from everybody. Please, submit the reviews, submit questions. You don't have to just email the questions into or try and record them. You can also drop a comment on the podcast or on the blog post that we have for each episode if you want to follow up on something about it with a specific episode. I'm really thrilled to see the feedback coming in. It's kind of, you speak in this microphone and I can see you on my screen with Skype, CJ, and you sometimes wonder, are you speaking to a void? And is anybody even paying attention? I looked at our download numbers for all of last year for the last 3 months, and we're over 12,000 through December the 31st. So I look at that every month, and
that's really awesome.
Yeah, it really gets me pumped up to see people are actually listening to us. So
yeah, it's nice to know somebody's out there. So yeah, thank you again to everybody for the reviews.
I guess I should say they're really just downloading it. I have no idea if they're listening to it, but that's not something I really care about. As long as they're downloading it, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully they're listening to it too. Okay, so thanks for the reviews. Now, on to the news. So we can kind of split this up into sort of three main sections. We're going to cover some quick cloud news first. We'll get through that pretty quick. Then we're going to move on to some cloud wars news, some storage war news. And then we're going to move on to OneDrive. I've got it noted down in the Evernote notebook here that we're using OneDrive Schmundrive. So that'll be an interesting topic. I know that you're pretty passionate about this and have some interesting insights to offer us. So it'll be good.
I'm going to have to find a sensor sound for our thing to kind of beep out myself.
Yeah, maybe we should have a little like a foghorn or something. Anyway, cloud news. First one off the block, that I think is interesting is the release of Windows Azure Hyper-V Recovery Manager. So this, we'll link off to the blog post up on TechNet blogs about this. This is a new service available in Azure that basically lets you do VM replication, but you know, in Hyper-V as well. So using Azure to help facilitate this, and uses System Center Virtual Machine Manager on-prem to help do that. And it's a service that you pay for. I think they've got a 50% discount for the first few months of this service. So if you have use Hyper-V on-prem, say in your own data center or a lab environment or whatever, you can use the recovery manager, Hyper-V recovery manager tool, to help automate replication of those VMs and so forth. So that's pretty cool, pretty interesting stuff, using the cloud to help do things on-prem, which I thought was really interesting.
It's a great way to have like hot standbys too. I mean, you don't have to maintain the hardware or anything. You don't need it. You just want to fire it up when you do need it and you need it available. So it's a, perfect sense, makes perfect sense to the product. So it's been in preview for a while. Now it's in GA and general availability, I guess. But so good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jan 16th, I think, was GA. Mm-hmm. You want to yap about the sandbox? I'm not sure if we've covered this before in a previous episode, but I just thought we would mention it. We'll link off to the news in the transcript.
I guess you could classify this as the breaking old news.
Yeah.
There was a blog post that came out on the SharePoint developer blog. I guess it was January the 14th, and it's all about deprecation of custom code and sandbox solutions. Basically, what they're saying here is when we started hearing about apps in SharePoint 2013, there was some confusion around were sandbox solutions deprecated or not. And then about a year later, in an NDA kind of conversation or behind the off the public channel conversation, something popped up on a thread that I was on, and I saw someone say from the product team, "Oh no, you can definitely do sandbox solutions. They're perfectly fine. It's the part of custom code in your sandbox solutions, that's the part that's deprecated, or a part that we call the user code service." Using declarative sandbox solutions was still available. And so everybody that was on that thread, we all jumped on like crazy saying, this is a big deal. If this is really the way it's supposed to be, you need to get out in front of this and tell everybody in the world about it. And of course, they didn't. But thankfully, they lifted our NDAs from that one little tidbit. And so you saw a handful of us blog about it a couple months ago. And now, months later, someone from the product group has now come out and said, sandbox solutions as declarative solutions are fully supported. It's the user code service that's gone. So basically, if you...
Well, not gone yet, right?
It's not gone. It's
deprecated.
Deprecated, yeah. So if you want to be at a fully supported, and I guess it's still supported, but if you want to be a fully supported, future, you know, safe state, if you deploy a sandbox solution to SharePoint 2013, as long as it doesn't have a DLL inside of it, you're good.
Yep.
That's all. That's how it breaks it down. There's a thing in Visual Studio where you can even remove the, you can set a flag to say include a DLL or not. So.
Yeah, I like to say that deprecated is like you've got your head on the block, but you're just not sure when the axe is going to come down.
Oh, God.
So it's not, your head isn't gone just yet, but, and you know, you're still good, but at some point it'll get removed.
Yep. Yep.
Is that too crass? Getting your head lopped off? Anyway.
I'm not dead yet. I'm feeling quite better.
I'm horribly, horribly hurt. All right. So Azure websites, there's a little bit of news that I noticed come out this week. In fact, yesterday, I think it was, maybe the day before, about Azure websites. So for those who don't know, Azure websites is pretty cool. It's the ability to host a website up in Azure in a very sort of... In a big multi-tenant environment. You could do it in a big shared... You could have your website on hosts that are shared with others, so much like you'd host a website off at some other hoster. But you can also say, I want it on a reserved instance, which gives you dedicated capacity for your website. Those have been around for quite some time, but they've made some improvements to those that were announced yesterday. In that there are a whole bunch of settings in your web config file for those websites that you couldn't change, that were locked off. And they've come out and said, or the Azure Websites team have come out and said, cool, we've made some changes. You can now configure this, that, and the other thing in the web config file. So for things like HTTP compression settings and being able to set your various compression settings by MIME type and stuff like that, couldn't do that in the past. And now you can do that via your web config file. And there are actually a whole bunch of different settings that they've opened up in the web config. And we'll link off to the blog post for people who are interested from this podcast up on microsoftcloudshow.com. And so you can go read up about all those different things you can do in the web config file now.
Yeah, this is really slick. I missed this this news until you just brought this up, and I just was looking at the blog post a second ago. It's really cool. You can set the compression settings both for static and dynamic compression, and you can do it based on the MIME type. So I could say, you know, any JSON string that comes out, which would be dynamic, I want that to be compressed on the fly. And that's I did a session for in the SharePoint 2007 timeframe, I guess. That was about performance and how you could tweak the compression and really do a lot of work on the size of the data that's coming across from SharePoint to the customer. And it's amazing how much impact you can really have by turning this on and by enabling this. So this is very cool.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, not a massive improvement, you know, but it's these small incremental changes that are really cool.
Yeah. So now we have a new segment that we're gonna kind of debut on our podcast here, right?
Yeah. Why don't you intro it?
I think we're gonna call this the Cloud Wars.
Who will win?
We said
the rebels.
Yeah. You're gonna have to define, if you're gonna bring that part up, we're gonna have to define who the Empire is and who the rebels are.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the Empire in this case is probably Amazon, and the rebels are Microsoft. But we may switch titles at any stage.
Yeah,
right? Subject to change.
I think this is part our 2014 predictions that we did a couple episodes ago, where we really saw that. Both of us saw 2014 as being a very cloud, this is where the battlefield is. Now, I mean, we see Amazon is still the big dog, but Microsoft is a very, you know, viable contender, I think, going forward. And so we'll see a lot of this playing out. But this one is funny. I think, what was it, the last episode we talked about the price cut with AWS and S3 storage?
We talked about Amazon in the last episode. And then, you know, Microsoft follows suit. You know, possibly the day after we recorded that. I mean, the timing was uncanny. Not uncanny, really, when you think about it. No surprise that they followed Amazon. But kind of funny that we recorded it, and then literally the next day or two, you know, they came out with that news. So
yeah.
You want to yap about that a little?
Yeah, it was kind of funny because that one, what was it? That one hit my inbox, and I forwarded that over to you. I was like, hey, look, shocker.
Yeah. news flash, yeah. The good thing that I noticed about that is, So for those who haven't seen the post, we'll link off to it as well in the show notes. But the interesting bit is that Amazon came out and said, we're going to drop our, I was going to say pants, but prices. almost faux pas there. And then, you know, Microsoft came out and said, we're going to match it or do better. And they actually said, we're going to do better in a number of cases, because I think Amazon's, there were a couple of caveats to Amazon's price cuts that were geo-based. Mm-hmm. So depending on which geography you were in and things like that. And so Azure came out and said, like, it's storage across the board, blah, blah, blah. We're going to cut. And so they sort of tried to beat it a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Microsoft also said, too, they followed up with this. And this was reported by Mary Jo Foley on ZDNet. They're previously to be able to take advantage of the price cuts to get the matching that they had for that Amazon offered. You had to meet a certain, you know, commitment requirement with Azure. And what they're saying now is there's no longer a minimum commitment required that users have to meet in order to take advantage of its Amazon price matching cuts. So that's another big little tidbit that I'm not sure. I don't think that Microsoft put that in their blog post, but Mary Jo Foley followed up with that on January the 24th. So
interesting.
Make sure that's in the show notes as well.
Nice. Another thing I noticed that was referenced as part of that, as part of Scott Goo's blog post on that, on the price cut, was this new Nasuni cloud storage report. So it's titled The State of Cloud Storage 2013 Industry Report, a Benchmark Comparison of Performance, Availability, and Scalability. So I hadn't seen this before, and it's basically this crowd that put out the storage report, and they compare Microsoft, Amazon, Rackspace, HP, and Google, but they do it just for storage. So it's not talking about compute. It's not talking about any of those sorts of other services that you get in those cloud services, cloud providers, just about storage. And what was interesting this year is that Azure came out on top. So they weren't on top last year. Amazon was with S3. But this year, Microsoft came out on top. And they basically, they categorize, or they do these various different tests and benchmarks around three main areas: performance, scalability, and stability. And you can go and read the report. We'll link off to it. But you can go read the report. It's a, you've got to register. You've got to put your name and email address in, and then they give you the PDF download. But it's an interesting doc. It's not too long, which is kind of interesting. They talk about their process and their methodology and that sort of thing. But yeah, performance, scalability, and stability. And the interesting thing is that Microsoft came out on top this year, and that was a big change that they noted over last year, which means they're obviously making some improvements over some of those other providers.
Yeah, there was an interesting quote in this one too that really stood out to me. It said, the report said, quote, "Not only did Microsoft outperform the competition significantly during the raw performance tests, it was the only cloud storage platform to post zero errors during 100 million reads and writes," end quote.
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Yeah, that's pretty damn impressive.
And you think, sure, you shouldn't ever get any errors, right? Which is awesome. And you're 100% right. You probably shouldn't. But when you're doing that many transactions on anything, right, you know, it is highly likely you're going to get a very small percentage, but not zero. Like, you could theoretically get zero, but that very rarely happens. Yeah. And it was amazing to see that you could do, you know, they smashed this thing. And they basically, the background on how they do this is they basically spin up some virtual machines, and then they use a set of tools to basically hammer the storage system, and they write, you know, they do things that are doing different types of reads and different types of writes of files of different sizes, and they're measuring the latency and the performance and the speed and all that sort of stuff, and so you can go see all of those results in the PDF. But it was pretty interesting. Microsoft didn't win out on every single measure, but they won out overall. So there were some things, like, I think if I remember reading the report correctly, I think it was Amazon that had faster reads for files over 1 megabyte in size or something like that.
Mm.
So they do a bunch of different types of tests.
Yeah.
But it was pretty interesting.
There's for those of you, we have all these little news bits and articles and stuff. We're going to put them all in the show notes. But as we find these things too, if you're interested, you follow us on Twitter, the MS Cloud Show on Twitter. We're going to start posting a lot of these links and stuff that we find as we find them on Twitter, so you don't have to wait for each episode to grab them, but we just have a nice steady stream of like cloud news that we find and stuff that you'll see start coming out over time. So
yeah nice. So
the big whammy,
and, you know, being cognizant of time, I'm going to cut you off after 30 minutes, I see. But so OneDrive/SkyDrive, so big news this week. It's going to be a little while before this podcast comes out, but so we might sound like we're behind the times here, but really this news came out yesterday for us. So SkyDrive, the Microsoft online cloud storage for consumers, and then SkyDrive Pro was the tool for synchronizing files up to basically SharePoint behind the scenes, 365. Or SharePoint on-prem. And the news came out yesterday or the day before that is going to be renamed to the OneDrive brand. And you can go see preview.onedrive.com and go read about that. But over time, basically the theory goes that they'll be transitioning SkyDrive to this new OneDrive brand. And that includes OneDrive for consumers, basically, which will replace just SkyDrive. And then OneDrive for business, which will replace SkyDrive Pro.
So two OneDrives. So two OneDrives, right? OneDrive for consumers, yeah. And OneDrive for business, right?
I feel a limerick or something coming up.
I tell you, the Microsoft and the synchronization, the file synchronization business, something that just, aside from conflict resolution, this just seems like such a black and white, simple thing to get right.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. We've got, the space is so competitive in here. You've got Dropbox, you've got Google Drive, you've got all these different options. You've got you had SkyDrive.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, first of all, why did they change the name? Okay, that's a big thing. All this was is just a name change, right? And I saw a quote somewhere, and I've been trying to find it. I can't find it, but it was someone from Microsoft, when asked by the press, they responded with, and I'm going to paraphrase, technically, nothing has changed. It's the exact same thing under the covers. It's just a marketing change. So they took out the word sky, replaced it with one. And that's primarily done because there was a trademark infringement case. I believe it's with the Sky Broadcasting Group in the UK.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so Microsoft had to remove the word sky from it. So they just replaced sky with one, and then they took the pro part out of one name and called it for business.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, I know that there's a couple things that you and I are definitely on the same page on with this. One of them is, you know, this is a huge missed opportunity to me because technically speaking, I've got issues with the name, but they're all like topical. But it's the service itself, the product itself. It's not a good service. It's not a good product. It doesn't work that well. The consumer one or the business one.
Yeah. Taking a step back, right? This has been, back to your point about the technology for a minute before we get on to, before I start my rant about the name and what changes and stuff. I didn't really, so for those who have followed Microsoft for a while, Ray Ozzie used to be the chief software architect. And way back then, he sort of was the guy behind Live Mesh, what became Live Mesh. And I'm not a particularly huge Ray Ozzie fan for his time at Microsoft. Kind of didn't have the impact at least for me. Didn't have the impact that a chief software architect should have. But the one thing that he did do was Live Mesh, or was responsible or drove Live Mesh. And it was a pretty sweet product, right? Like it did the things that people wanted, right? It let you sync folders between your PCs, and it did it nice and quick, and it was easy to do between users and also between your own PCs. Didn't necessarily need a cloud storage system behind it. And it did a bunch of other things like remote desktop to your machines and stuff too. But the main thing was, like, they had a product that worked pretty well. And then, you know, then it moved on to SkyDrive. And Live Mesh has been canned some time back. And I'm sure we'll get a listener question sent in from our good friend Spence Harbar on this, because I know he's super passionate about file synchronization. But you know that Live Mesh was a pretty good product, and it kind of got, like a lot of things at Microsoft, there's multiple solutions to a problem, and SkyDrive ended up winning that battle overall, well, at least from what lived on. And then you know, so that syncs your files and stuff to the cloud, but then along came what was originally Groove, right? Which morphed into SkyDrive Pro, which was basically the client component that you put on Windows that let you synchronize up your files for business up into SharePoint, either online or in yeah, online or on-prem. But like you said, it's never been quite as good technically as Live Mesh was, for example. Like I love giving the team grief whenever I see them about, why is it that when I drop a file into Dropbox, it's like syncs across my entire universe in 2 seconds, but SkyDrive seems to take some arbitrary period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sums up to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now we morph on through the trademark dispute with the crowd in the UK, and Microsoft are forced to rename. And that happened, I think, like 6 months ago. And everybody's been waiting for this. And then the news came out, OneDrive is going to be the new brand.
So a good synopsis. I mean, it's frustrating to me because I loved Live Mesh. It was perfect. I would have liked to have an option to where Live Mesh could have synced my files as well in the cloud somewhere, so I could have had easy access to them. But it was just peer-to-peer, and that was fine. That gave me almost everything I possibly wanted.
I thought you could have a storage thing behind it in the cloud. Am I wrong with that?
You still had to have one of the machines up and running with it. Like that. So like a lot of us did, if you wanted to have it on a server, then I would have you'd set it up so that your machine would log in automatically and it would launch Live Mesh and log you in, so it would still go through and keep things in sync. But that was years ago. So like I experienced the exact same thing you have with SkyDrive. I've tried SkyDrive on Windows, on different machines, on Mac. I've tried it on different networks. And I always see that thing, that little icon in the system tray or in the menu bar, whatever your OS you're on. And it's just constantly working. It's like analyzing changes. It's like, I dropped the file in there 5 minutes ago. It's a 4K text file. Send it.
Yeah, the one that really bugs me is when you don't see that icon.
Yeah.
And you've dropped something and then you're like,
pick it up.
Just sync already.
Yeah, but I mean, Dropbox sees it immediately. I got so frustrated with SkyDrive that earlier this year, and I have one customer, all the stuff that I do with Pluralsight, they use Dropbox for submission of all the files back and forth for them for videos and stuff for the courses. So I was using Dropbox. I was using the free 2 gig version. I got a few of the extra little add-ons for recommending people and tweeting and all that kind of stuff. But I needed more space, and SkyDrive was so unreliable for me that I finally just gave up and said, forget it. I'm going to pay the $100 because Dropbox just works. It just syncs files, and that's all I need. Poof, I'm good. So it's great. It's got a client on my NAS device. I can get to it in the browser. Works fantastic. I tried SkyDrive Pro, I'm not the only person. I've heard multiple people that have talked about how they get their stores locally get corrupted, and then they have to reset up a sync, and it creates yet another SkyDrive Pro folder locally that will sync, but the old ones are essentially locked, and they can't get rid of them. So, I mean, if the technology hasn't changed, then for those people that are still doing that, are we looking at you're having multiple OneDrive Pro, OneDrive for Business on your machine, but it's always the plus one is the one that works, and all of the end ones before that are locked and you can't use them. So you have multiple OneDrive businesses, OneDrive for Business on your machine, and all but one of them is going to work. Now, that might be an edge case, but I've talked to probably seven or eight different people that say that, oh yeah, it happens to me all the time.
I definitely get the it's not syncing right, or there'll be file conflicts or something, but I don't get the – I haven't seen that personally. Personally haven't seen the problem with it just balking the entire folder and having to recreate it. I use it quite extensively at work. Like I sync a lot of libraries to my machine from SharePoint using the client tool that integrates in Explorer, and it works pretty well for me, but – you know, I do get file conflicts from time to time, and I don't feel like I've got entire control over when it syncs. But other than that, I haven't had it totally die on me yet. But anyway, so on to the change to OneDrive. My take on this is, you know, fairly straightforward, I think. At the moment, it's a name change, which they were kind of forced into. I do feel like there's a bit of lost opportunity from the technology side of things to fix this problem of multiple different clients for different things. So now we've got SkyDrive for consumer. Sorry. Oh, God, it's already started. OneDrive for consumer, OneDrive for business. And there are also other file sync technologies that Microsoft make, like work folders, which are, if you're not familiar with work folders, that's the ability for taking an on-premises file share and publishing it to users externally and having it sync to your client devices. And it's done by the Windows Server team, I believe. And it's actually pretty cool because there are tons of file shares out there in the world that aren't going to get migrated to the cloud for some time. And it's nice to have those available to people. However, as a consumer and as a business person and all of that, I would like one place to go get all that stuff. And so I feel like it's a little bit of a missed opportunity from a technology point of view right now, to combine all those experiences and make one place for all of that stuff.
You know, and it's got, I'm sure that there are three different teams. There's the Windows Server team, there's the Office team with the SkyDrive for Business, and then, OneDrive for Business. You've probably got the team that, and I don't know what they're called, but the Live team or MSN team or whatever it is that, that has the consumer part of SkyDrive, of OneDrive. Oh my God. So you've probably got three different teams, and it reminds me of that org chart that was always floats around for Microsoft where it's all these different divisions and they all have guns pointing at each other.
Someone,
and I know there's a CEO in limbo, but someone has got to be above all three of these divisions and has got to get all three of these people in the room. And just,
this is exactly why I want Bill Gates back.
Oh my God. But it's just, you got to look, right? You got to look at all three of them. Someone's got to look at all three of them. And I don't know. Okay. We're going to, I'm just going to break that barrier here, but someone's just going to say, you guys got to get your figured out and just fix the damn thing. One solution for everybody. Give me a checkbox. If it's a file that needs to be published, a folder that needs to be published publicly, give me a checkbox if it's a business thing and should only go to SharePoint, or give me a checkbox that says, no, it's a consumer thing and I've just put my vacation pictures in here. It's like, just figure this crap out and give me one Microsoft Drive. One drive.
One drive. That'd be sweet, wouldn't it? I blogged about this like 6 months ago in June, and we'll link off to it in the show notes, but this was still when it was called OneDrive.
It should be called OneDrive, but we should only get one drive, not three drives.
Right. When it was called SkyDrive, I blogged about this, and it, basically the naming quandary and the mess of the sync products and things. And I'll link off to it, because looking at it in hindsight is pretty funny, because I mentioned in the blog post, like, I just want one place called like files, and then you get stuff from SharePoint and 365 and the consumer thing all in that one spot. And that would be my technical nirvana for file sync. And it's pretty funny looking back on it, because the technical problems haven't been resolved yet, but who knows? Like, I'm an optimist, and I really do hope that somebody figures this out and gets all these things combined.
I sure hope that they get this figured out, but I look at it and just say, from a technical perspective, that was the problem. I understand there's a legal problem you got to fix with the SkyDrive part.
Yeah.
But to me, and we may get to OneDrive, but we're not there. And it's been and to me, I don't see anybody. Every time I always explain someone what I wanted in Live Mesh and why I didn't want SkyDrive and why I wanted to continue using Live Mesh and why I was ticked off that they were discontinuing Live Mesh, every single person I talked to that was at Microsoft, either was one of two things. They either did not understand what I was trying to say. When everybody I talked to that's outside of Microsoft, we all knew what we wanted. We all explained it perfectly, and we all got each other. But nobody at Microsoft understood what we said. Or they understood what we said, and they simply were trying to talk to their solution and ignoring what our feedback was. Pulling like an Apple. What Apple does, yeah. Right? Apple's like, we're going to give you what we think is best. And, I mean, that's been going on for a while. I personally, if someone does understand it, there's no follow through on actually executing and getting it done. I'm still taking a flyer on the whole OneDrive thing. I'm going to stick with Dropbox. I don't understand this. The naming is one part. The technology side is still the bigger problem. Big missed opportunity. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
No more rant. I'm climbing off the soapbox.
I use all of the above, right? I use them all, and I'll continue to do that. I think it's I have work uses and I have personal uses, and I pick whatever the right tool is for the job.
Yeah.
And for me, that's Dropbox as well as OneDrive and OneDrive for Business. So I got all three cooking.
Yeah.
But we'll watch this space, and maybe we'll revisit it again in another episode and see what happens in the future.
Yeah, I guess as a disclaimer, I do use three different things. I have SkyDrive or OneDrive for consumer is what I use. I've never used the SkyDrive Pro I don't anticipate switching over to OneDrive for Business just because I wasn't using it before. I use Dropbox primarily for most of the stuff. And then I also use Google Drive for a couple different projects of things I'm in with people for collaborating on documents, like live editing of documents. And I know that, you know, Word can do this in the browser and everything, but the people I'm working with, they are all Google Docs and Google Apps people. So I use that to coordinate with them.
Hey, it's good to see all sides of the equation, right? And see what everybody's up to.
Yep. Definitely.
To compare and contrast. All right. Why don't we wrap up?
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Something.